Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, I don't know about you. It is hard for me to believe that fall 2021 has finally arrived.
And it came with its cold temperature, too. So here it is. So last Sunday, Jason was preaching and in the AM, and he had a lesson based on Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And you walked through and really talked about some great things about not being ashamed, being ashamed of God, not being ashamed of his word, not being ashamed of what God calls us to do, and just some great reminders. And I think everyone ought to go back and watch that because it really helped us. But before we get to our series today, I thought we'd just kick off a couple questions from that. Because that's a big thing a lot of people face in our culture today. Our culture is so in your face, and it's so bold and obnoxious that it intimidates a lot of Christians. And so why is it that people get ashamed? I'm going to start with that question, and then how do they act when they are ashamed?
Yeah. I drew attention there toward the beginning of the sermon. John mentions for us specifically in his gospel that there were some, even of the authorities, who believed in Jesus. They believed that this was much more obviously than a man. They could not discount his miracles, and they were coming to believe what he himself was claiming, but John clues us in that they were afraid of the Pharisees. They were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. And even though that is describing people who lived about 2,000 years ago, the first thing that just jumps out to me is we're often ashamed because we're afraid. We're afraid to be distinct, afraid to stand out. Many of us would much rather just go with the flow, be in the background. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. And we're afraid that, to borrow from Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, if we let our light shine before other people, we're not sure what sort of reaction we're going to get, what sort of look, what sort of whispers over in the corner or whatever it is. And so fear is what stands out to me. What would you add to that?
Well, you know, I think of that at the end of the Gospel of John when Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus to be buried. He's described as a secret disciple for fear of the Jews.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, maybe where a lot of us are. We're a secret disciple. We keep our faith in the closet for that reason of not wanting that. And I think the fear factor is because we are different and it leads to confrontation. And we don't like confrontation. We want to get along with everybody. And we're afraid that someone's going to call us out, call us a name, be obnoxious to us, and that's just going to cause us to melt. And so, you know, not being ashamed is a powerful thing to do. And sometimes when you see somebody that has that bold and courageous faith, it causes someone else to also have faith, causes someone else to stand up. They sometimes need a leader, and then they'll follow that person.
It's a lot like, you know, coals in a fireplace or in a grill. If you've got a little bit of heat that is being generated and reflected amongst disciples, it's a whole lot more natural, it feels more exciting, easier to have zeal when we see each other. And so I agree with you. As we see people of all ages, brothers and sisters in Christ, being unashamed, one of the most impactful things I think we can do is just express appreciation. Hey, thank you for being willing to say a prayer for us in this restaurant. Thanks for, you know, here I was, I walked into the coffee shop not expecting to see anybody, and here you are with an open Bible. Thank you for being such a good example. We can't overestimate the injection of encouragement that sort of thing can be.
And that's where we are today. We just need to understand we should not be ashamed. The Lord wasn't ashamed to go to the cross. We shouldn't be ashamed to live and walk for him. Powerful things. And we could spend all of this podcast talking about that, but we need to get back to our series. And we've got a series going on here in September about salvation.
Sure. We have been using in September on Wednesdays, rather than looking in depth at a recent sermon, we've been reflecting on our building blocks track of studies. You can see all about that at charlestownroad.org. Each month, we have a different fundamental question that we're exploring as Bible classes, but also as families across a wide spectrum of our own church family. What is salvation is our focal point for this month. And so, Roger, you and I, right along with it, we've been digging into, okay, different key words associated with salvation. Redemption. I need to be set free from my sin. Reconciliation. Once I'm set free, where am I going to go? I need to go back home to my Father in heaven. This past Sunday, we introduced our third word, sanctification.
And so, sanctification or sanctified.
Yes.
That's the word we want to look at. And that really describes what's happened to us. We have been sanctified. We have had sanctification. And we might say, well, what does that mean? What's happened to me? And that's just a powerful thing we need to look at. So let's just begin with some verses that use this word, and then we'll try to explain this, what this means to us and how great, great blessing this is. Romans 6, verse 22, it says, "But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life." Another use of this word is in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. And we'll come back to this one because it's going to bring up another idea I want to talk about here in a minute. But in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, as Paul introduces this book, he says in verse 2, "To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus." And so, sanctified. Let's begin with the meaning of that word. What does it mean, Jason?
Sure. It is very closely tied to the idea of being purified. We have leaned in our building blocks videos heavily on Titus chapter 2. And so in verse 14, Jesus is being referenced as the one who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. And so, for instance, we read language like Acts 22:16. "Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins," calling on his name. I appreciate, Roger, how you put that, that this is something that is being done to us, something that is happening to us. And so in Titus chapter 3, for instance, we read about the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. It all really revolves around being made holy. The word means being made holy, and it starts with baptism. Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. But it's not a one-time step. It's the lifestyle of a disciple to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. We read in Titus chapter 2, or perhaps most famously as Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, verse 15, "As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." So I need to be set free from sin. I need to come back home to God, and God is the one who makes me holy as he is holy.
You know, that idea kind of reminds me when I was a kid growing up. I would come across a word, I didn't know what it meant. My dad would always tell me, look it up in a dictionary, and I'd look it up, and there'd be a definition, and I wouldn't understand that definition. So sanctified means to be holy. Great, what's holy mean? Yeah. And if we say, well, holy means to be sanctified, we're going in circles here. So to be holy means to be set apart. It means to be special. And we think about that concept as Jesus Christ is holy. God is holy. They are special. They are set apart. Practical illustration, you know, not to the degree we're talking about here, but most of us in our homes, we have some special dishes. And when we're having a special occasion, maybe after a wedding or maybe a Thanksgiving, we may not get out the paper plates, but we may get these dishes we only use once a year. They are special. They are set apart. We don't use them every day. And that's the concept behind being holy. In 1 Peter 3 and in verse 15, that passage begins by saying, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts." Well, Jesus is already holy, so I can't make Jesus holy. But what that is emphasizing is put Christ in a special place in your heart. Make Christ number one in your life. And so when we think about sanctification, sanctify, this is a choice based upon things we have done that makes us this way.
I like how Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 puts it. "Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus," that's exactly what you're talking about, Jesus is the Lord, "that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification." Again, it starts with washing my sins away in baptism, but it has to do with, okay, how am I going to please the God who is holy? How am I going to walk with Jesus as he is holy? And it revolves around, okay, we've been given instructions as to how we ought to live. Sanctification involves learning and living in the light of those instructions.
So when somebody hears the word holy, you know, the image may come to their mind is that, well, you folks are just better than everyone else. You got halos. And we don't have halos.
No.
And so how would we respond to that? That, you know, well, you're so special, you're better than everyone else.
I think the quickest way to respond to that is to emphasize, I am not special, but my God is. Okay?
Yes.
I have bumps and bruises and cracks and all sorts of things that sin has inflicted on me. I know what it is to be far from God. There isn't anything special about me, but I have come to know a special God, and by walking with him, he is doing special things in my life.
I have been cleansed because I was dirty. Now I am cleansed. Am I special? Because God made me that way, but God makes everybody that way if they'll follow God.
Absolutely.
Now let's go back to our Corinthian passage. I read the front part of this. I'm going to finish this passage. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, Paul's introducing this letter to the Corinthian church. He says, "To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus." Well, Paul's there. So this is those who have chosen to follow Christ. These are those who are holy. These are those who have put on Christ and have purified themselves through baptism and purify themselves as they make righteous choices every day. "To those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints, by calling with all those in every place who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." Sanctification, sanctified, and saints. That sounds like they're living on the same street there. And when we hear the word saints, again, for some of our listeners out there, that idea is some super special Christian who died a long time ago, and he is elevated up to a superior place, and he's now a saint. What's interesting is Paul is writing this letter to saints. Living people don't write letters to dead people. They won't be read. This is being read by the church at Corinth. The living Christians, those who were sanctified, are saints. So let's chase that word just a little bit.
Yeah, so it definitely, most certainly, does not mean these people had their act completely together. If you believe that, you haven't actually read 1 Corinthians, right? This is a church full of all sorts of things that need attention. These people are far from perfect. But if you keep reading, and in the context of our church family, we are reading 1 Corinthians. We've just read a couple of chapters so far in our daily Bible reading schedule. And I think 1 Corinthians 2 is a great foundation to understand what was making these people saints. Paul gets across, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, in verse 2. And then he goes on in chapter 2 to describe that what I'm sharing with you is not the wisdom of this world, of this age, but this is the wisdom of God. And the, to borrow from verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. And so I take that to mean, okay, someone who has their minds set right here on the earth, someone who is very content and comfortable living like everybody else, without any regard for God or honoring Him, that's not a saint. But if someone chooses to go against the grain and listen to the wisdom from above, that is what makes us saints. Again, it's not that I am more special than anybody else. I'm born different from anybody else. I have somehow achieved something that no one else can achieve. It is a special God who has provided a special gospel, and for those who are willing to respond to the word of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, they are made saints. And I'll just give you a preview. Our last salvation word this coming Sunday is transformation. And so hopefully you see the progression here. I'm set free from my sin. I come back home to God. I am purified. But for the rest of my life, God is working on me to be more and more like Jesus.
So if one of the definitions of sanctify is set apart, who's doing that setting apart? Who's the agent in doing that?
Yeah, that is God. No okay. doubt about it.
Okay, so it's not ourselves. It's not about our deeds. It's not because, you know, I'm smarter than you or I've got more of this than you or whatever. It's God who sets us apart. And really, you know, when we look at the world, we have thousands of qualifiers. We can talk about someone being rich, someone's poor, someone's white, someone's black, someone's male, someone's female. I mean, just went to college, didn't go to college, got this degree. You know, we just got zillions of ways of identifying us. God has two, either in Christ or you're not, and that's it.
Yeah, you read from 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 9, we're told, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son. I'm either in fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, or I'm out of fellowship. I have not been reconciled to Him.
So I'm either in or I'm out. That's it. That's just it. There's no middle ground. And so again, that helps us to see that. Now, one other question that I want to ask while we're on this great topic, and that is, how do I know if I'm sanctified? So, you know, we're talking about this word. It means set apart. It means holy. It's been washed. It's been purified. How do I know if I'm sanctified?
Well, I would lean again on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there are these words that have been delivered to us. For instance, verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. In verse 16, he says, who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, you can take that last statement, we have the mind of Christ, and you can chew on that the rest of the day, and you're not going to hit the bottoms of the depths of the glory that is being talked about. When we take these sacred writings that have been delivered to us by God, and we willfully submit ourselves, placing ourselves under the authority of the God that has provided these writings, we can understand what God wants us to do. And if we will do what he wants us to do, we are, to borrow from 1 John, walking in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. We can live with confidence that the blood of his son cleanses us from all sins. If we have brothers and sisters in Christ who love us enough to maybe pull us aside and say, listen, I see the direction you're going. I see how you're talking, how you're living, and I want you to know I'm concerned because this seems to be out of harmony with, and we open up the Bible. Then I've got a choice, right? Am I going to submit myself to what God has revealed by his Spirit, or am I going to decide, well, I think I know better, or I am better, or I'm beyond that? That's not the path of the saint of God.
So when we ask, how do I know if I'm sanctified, it's just the same thing as asking, how do I know if I'm redeemed? Mm-hmm. How do I know if I'm reconciled? Next week, how do I know if I am transformed? It comes down to the same basic question, how do I know if I'm saved? It's not based upon feelings. It's based upon obeying the Lord, trusting him, and walking in Jesus Christ.
We can live with confidence because of what he has provided us in his amazing word. Absolutely.
So this evening, Wednesday evening, we are glad to have you come back this evening, 7 o'clock. We have two sets of adult classes. Jason's doing the building blocks, and you're talking about what there?
We are bouncing on Wednesdays off of our Sunday Word. So Sunday's Word was sanctification. On Wednesdays, we're looking at great stories of salvation. And so we're going to look at a couple of people in Jesus' life who were in desperate need of cleansing, but they weren't sure whether or not Jesus would be willing or able. And so our key phrase for this evening is Jesus is willing and able. What about you?
Well, we're going to continue our summer series. We had a summer series with several preachers this summer, and we talked about the theme, How Firm a Foundation. We're going to kind of continue that, just kind of building upon some things that was preached to us and continue looking at those things. And then this Sunday, you're preaching, Jason.
I am. At 9:30 a.m., I've got the privilege of preaching, and my plan is to take us back to just a fascinating account in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Jesus, as he interacts with a man who is severely oppressed by a demon, and the difference that Jesus makes in that man's life, and as a result, the difference that he can make in anybody's life. We'll talk about the difference he can make in your life, even in the 21st century. We've got a lot of things to look forward to. Roger, I appreciate you joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We would love to see you this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.